Well, good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure for me to be with you and share with you in a continuation of a sequence. We're going to look at number three today of Stop Dating the Church. And I know that this is kind of protracted over a number of weeks and so on, and will we remember everything as we go? So a little bit of repetition every so often, I hope, will help you remember what each part was. But part one then, can any remember? Part one of Stop Dating the Church was about turning up isn't good enough. We need to commit to something. And part two was about church recognizing that church is the bride of Christ. Church is who God loves. Church is God's idea and God's ideal. And if we are to do as Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 says about copying Jesus, if Jesus loves the church, then we are to copy Jesus. We are to love the church too. So it brings us on to today, why we really need local church, part three. And I want to start by just referencing a book, and I can't remember if I've referenced this book before and so on, but the book is called You Lost Me. And it was based on some research that was done about why people leave church, especially those that are in, well, around about the 20s and early 30s. And as part of You Lost Me, I noticed one time an advert for this book. And it was a little video advert of 2 or 3 minutes long. And part of talking with these different people and their reflections on their struggle with church and maybe why they left church, one person, one guy, he makes this statement. He said, church has become somehow taken on a consumer model. We go to church and we consume church. He said, I don't want church like that. I want church to cost me something. And then he repeats himself again. I actually want church to cost me something. Do you want church to cost you something? Are you willing to not just turn up, but commit to something because you recognize that church is the love of Jesus? He loves church. He loves us because church is God's idea and God's ideal. What did church look like just after Christ's ascension? We had it in our scripture reading, and thank you for reading that. And if I can get you to turn back, it doesn't really matter too much which translation, but just to use this as a springboard onto what is local church all about? What is my part to play in it? Why can't I just turn up? Well, we have here a little sequence. It's an interesting passage for a number of reasons, but it starts with this kind of little list of what church looked like, local church looked like for this group of believers. So it says, and I'll actually read to you and skim over from the New International Version here. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That means church for them was about coming together and reminding themselves, each other, encouraging each other about the stories of Jesus. So that's one purpose of local church. It's to come together, reminding each other about Jesus and the stories of Jesus. Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. Fellowship? Do we get fellowship at local church? Or is it possible just to turn up? We congregate. We say hello. That seventh morning grin. Hi, hello, how are you? How's your week? Fine. Oh, yeah. How was your week? Fine. Yeah, fine. Thanks. It's not fellowship. That's just a stained glass masquerade. They came together to fellowship. As we read on in this passage, we'll see a little bit more about what fellowship was about. But fellowship is about congregating, but not just congregating, communing together. Spending long enough together so that we know a little bit about each other. It says that they broke bread together, as the translation that was read. They ate meals together and they had communion together. They broke bread and had the bread and the wine, the symbolism of Christ's body, remembering, reflecting back how this links with the apostles' teachings, the thinking back of, yes, this is what Jesus has done for us. And it was more than just once a quarter, which we tend to do at church. And then because we have it once a quarter, then it means that some people decide whether they want to come to church that day or not. Whether that's because you don't want to wash someone else's feet, because we do that bit as well, or it's just kind of an added thing to the service. But this is something that these people did regularly. Because coming together wasn't just to say hi, bye. It was to be involved in each other's lives. They reminded each other of stories of Jesus. They got to know each other. They shared meals together, including having communion. And what else does it say? What's it say in your translation? It's easy to miss it and skip over it. It's there at the end of verse 42. And they prayed together. Not just the main prayer. Not just the prayer over the offerings and the tithes. This is a link, doesn't it, to that fellowship idea? That I spend long enough and I open myself up. That's difficult. But I'm willing enough to expose myself to you and my life and share my life with you so that I can invite you to pray for me. And I offer to pray for you. That's the kind of fellowship that these people came, not just to congregate, but to commune together. Well, that's nice. Is that what church is about? That's just the practices that they did. But the passage goes on. There are some amazing things when we get those practices right. When we come to church not just to turn up, when we come to church to commit to each other, when we come to church to share meals, when we give to each other of our needs. Everyone was filled with awe. What would that be like? To come to commune together. Because of this habit of communing, that we get this developing sense of awe, of something amazing. Not just that God is a presence and a feeling, but something. I can sense a feeling of anticipation that God's presence is here, and what is God about to do among us? Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. What if church looked like that? That we came together not just to congregate, but to commune, to enjoy each other's fellowship, to offer to live our lives together, to share together with our meals, It's not just our meals that we'd share together, because it goes on, and all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. It's kind of all right till that point, wasn't it? You mean I need to commit to this body of believers that much? I mean, turning up is one thing, Nathan, but you know, you're asking us and showing us, look, actually, to commune together, to come together, a fellowship of believers is a little bit more. So, okay, maybe I can. It's hard, but maybe I can submit to a point of, I'll share a meal together. Maybe I'll submit to someone else and start to share my life a little bit. But to give up what I have because someone else has need, that's a bit hard. That's maybe not for me, Nathan. So don't go reading that again. But this is what people did. They came together and they got to know each other so much that they started learning what everyone's needs were. Do we come to church to congregate or commune to a point where I get to know you well enough that I know what your needs are, and according to my ability, I help you out? Wouldn't that be amazing? Every day, they continued to meet together. Not just for a few hours on a Sabbath morning. Every day. And I know we live scattered. But what if in some way we were communicating with each other? How's your day? I prayed for you today. Can I pray with you now over the phone or in this typed message? What would church look like then? Every day they continued to meet together. It says here in the temple courts, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They shared. They brought what they had to share with other people, because the little that they have might be the blessing that someone else needs. Well, maybe you're thinking, yeah, Nathan, we do most of this, and some of us do maybe all of it. We eat together with sincere hearts, we're praising God and enjoying the favor of other people. But when we do all of these things, there's something else that happens. And the Lord added to their number daily. I have never experienced this, but I look forward to experiencing it. But in order to experience that adding to the number daily that the Lord does, maybe I need to reflect on me dating the church, and what does local church really look like when I stop dating, when I realize that we are the love of God. He just so much wants to be in relationship with us, and he wants us to be in relationship with each other. I want church to cost me something. I actually want church to cost me something. But that is part of the point, isn't it? The church coming to Jesus will cost you something. coming to Jesus isn't, well, I'll agree and I'll pop along to church and I'll help out, and when they have a cleaning day, I'll pop along then as well. But life is just so busy. When we have Christ at the center of our lives, Christ is at the center of our lives. It means that we build everything else around it. We don't just bolt God on and fit God in where we can. It means that we devote ourselves to other people. Why? Because that's God's purpose for us in our lives. When we say, yes, we accept what Jesus has done for us, then we're ready to say, but I need to tell this to other people. Because church is about coming together, getting our marching orders, and going out to people that are also sinners like us, but saved sinners like us. They just don't know it yet. And that's the purpose of coming to church, to gain that strength and encouragement as we go and find other people to share the good news of Jesus with. But it's not easy to fit our lives around like that, is it? You know, if we just tick along, if we just come along to church but we're not ready to make that commitment, we recognize that, yeah, church is the bride of Christ, the love of Jesus, but we're not ready to commit, we're not ready to get involved. We are missing out. And we are robbing other people of the things that we could be offering them. What is sin? And now I keep laboring this question. I want you to make sure that you know it just like that. What is sin? Sin is when we think we know better than God. Sin is when we think we know better than God. And if God, through Jesus, is saying that church is my idea and my ideal, and this is the way that I want you to do church, and I want you to copy me, and I want you to love other people. And we say, you know, I'll commit this far, but I won't go that far. Then are we saying that we know better than God? Are we robbing God and robbing fellow believers of even the little that we have to offer? Charles Spurgeon, a preacher of yesteryear, said these words, "So you Rolling Stone Christians," I don't think he knew about the Rolling Stones back in his day. "You Rolling Stone Christians, I do not believe you are answering your purpose. You are living contrary to the life which Christ would have you live, and you are much to blame for the injury you do." Not only do we limit the benefit that other people can have from us attending and participating and giving, we rob ourselves of people doing that to us when we are just rolling stones. I came across a quote as I was reading around this passage and looking at the content of this sermon. This was written in a magazine back in 1906. Ellen White writes in Science magazine, 19th of December, "Unselfishness is to bind God's people together with firm, tender bonds. There is a vast power in the church when the energies of the members are under the control of the Spirit, gathering good from every source, educating, training, and disciplining self." I will come back to that one in a moment. "Thus is presented to God a powerful organization through which he can work for the conversion of sinners." That's the purpose of church. "Thus, heaven and earth are connected, and all divine agencies cooperate with human instrumentalities. So what was that about? If when all of these things happen, then we get this divine and human thing connecting and great things happening. Let's just reverse engineer this statement. If we think, well, when these divine and human agencies come together and great things happen, then it's happening because we are pursuing the conversion of sinners, remembering that we are sinners also. And we do that through our combined joining together. We do that because that joining together is under the control of the Holy Spirit. We do that when we come together and offer ourselves to each other unselfishly. That's where it starts. If I think I know better than God, I don't want to make a commitment, I'll just turn up. We are robbing God, we are robbing other people, and we are denying ourselves of that shared blessing. Stop dating the church. I have in a bag here a little prop. Anyone recognize what this is? It's a brick. It's an old used brick from a wall that's fallen down, but here is a brick. How useful is a brick, even if it was a brand new one? How useful is a brick? A brick. Just one. It keeps the door open. You can put it under the wheel of a car just to stop it rolling forward. It has some limited uses. But what was a brick made for? A brick is made for being part of something else. And when you sit here and we have these bricks around on the walls that you can see as visible, some painted, some still bare, look around and think to yourself, you know, if I am a brick, which brick would I be? Would I be facing that way or facing that way? Would I want to be on the corner or in the middle or lost in a little corner somewhere? I'm asking you to look around the room and think about the bricks, because when you come back here again sometime, I want you to look at the bricks and think, where am I in this church? Which brick am I? You see, a brick is no good just by itself, sat out in the car park. It doesn't build anything. But coming together, forming part of something else, that's when we can achieve something. Which brick are you? You see, the other thing with coming together and the purpose of local church is recognizing that when I come to Christ, it's not life as usual. When we really come to Christ, it's life as unusual. Things are going to change. Things will continually change. My life should not look like and behave like and be like just everyone else that I work with and that I study with. If I go to work and I get involved in the conversation and what they're talking about seems exactly the same that I'm talking about, and the way that I describe my life, they can hear and, yeah, we do the same. But is life the same when you are a Christian? Life should not sound the same. Life is different. And when we come together, when we spend time long enough together, when we get to know each other enough, then we can offer each other the benefit of encouragement and support. I said about discipline, because maybe sometimes we need to come together and commune together because we need the disciplined help of other people to discipline us. I need your help. I'm struggling with this. Would you pray with me about that? You see, there are amazing things that happen when we come together and we pray together. Like I said earlier, not just the main prayer, not just hearing a prayer over the tithes and offerings, but coming together and saying, can I pray with you about that? I can see that's difficult. I can see you're questioning. Can I pray with you? When we become a Christian, it's not life as normal. It's life as abnormal. So there are some distinctive practices that we do as church, and we'll be coming on to some of these in a bit more detail on other sermons when we're looking at stop dating the church. But we have things like baptism, and baptism relates to salvation, recognizing what Jesus has done for us. We have communion, and that is to do with fellowshipping and sharing and celebrating what Jesus has done for us. But we also have discipline. And discipline is about learning to live a godly life, submitting to each other just like we submit to God, because it's God that does the changing in us. It's the devil's deception that we need to get good enough in order for God to accept us. That's the little twist. That's the little, oh dear, I can't do this. That's the whole point. That's why Jesus came. You can't do it. That's why he came to do it for you. But because he's done it for us, we can then say, okay, I submit to you. And I want you to do this work in me and in my life. That's why we have local church. Have you ever wondered, and looking through the New Testament, there is occasional reference to church being something a bit more global, but very often the reference to church is about a specific local group of believers. Yeah, Galatians is churches in an area called Galatia. But what is it that I'm encouraging you to read and throughout this series? Read it and reread it and reread it. It's written as a letter, so read it like a letter in one go. Ephesians. If you haven't read it yet, read it. If you have read it yet, read it again. This is a letter to a local church, giving them encouragement, pointing out you need to make sure you're keeping together because God has a purpose when you come together. When we come together, we help each other with this godly living. That's what's called sanctification. It's what God does in us, but we are part of that because we encourage each other. And when we come together, we worship together. We express our faith in this God, and we can pray together as part of worship. Stop dating the church. When we come to God and we say, we want to follow you, we want to give our lives to you, we have an opportunity then to get involved in other people's lives. Because church is about reaching out to sinners like us. To saying, life isn't just about the here and now. It's about the happily ever after. Stop dating the church. Stop being a consumer and start being a communer, because other people need you to commune rather than consume. Stop dating the church. The problem with church, as I said before, is that church is full of people. Annoying people. People that don't do the right thing, that maybe even seem hypocritical. But just remember that church is God's idea and God's ideal. He wants us to come together because he wants us to offer to help each other. That's why we have local church. That's what church is all about. So when you do wander into the building, instead of looking around at the problems, be the solution that your complaints are full of.